And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme, and today's theme is tell-alls. Each of my segments will tell all about a particular subject. My next guest is a former writer and editor for Sports Illustrated. He's interviewed many of the world's greatest athletes. He'll tell all about the 16 characteristics of true champions from his latest book, Greatness. And if you want to call in and ask a question of my guest, Don Yeager, you can call us at 639-0008. Don Yeager has developed a reputation as one of America's most provocative journalists. His award-winning writing career includes 10 years as an associate editor at Sports Illustrated. Don has appeared on every major talk show in America, now including Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. He was born and raised in Hawaii. Don has traveled extensively. He's gone to the Dominican Republic, Honduras, Japan, Great Britain, and can be counted among the countries in which he has resided as well. Don currently lives in Tallahassee, Florida. He spends much of his time sharing the lessons of what he's learned throughout his career with audiences across the country. Don is also an entrepreneur and a recognized business leader. He owns a political consulting business and a public relations firm. His latest book is titled Greatness, The 16 Characteristics of True Champions. Joining us from Florida. Hi, Don. How are you today?
I am exceptional. Thank you very much.
Well, glad to hear that you're exceptional. That's a great response to that. Well, thanks for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Many people that are listening to our audience, they know you're writing from Sports Illustrated and some of the other pieces that you've done outside of Sports Illustrated. But one of the things that I remarked was that you've interviewed some of the greatest names in sports and politics during your career. Let me just list a few of them. John Wooden, the late great coach of UCLA basketball. Chris Everett, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Mia Hamm, who was a guest on this show, Venus Williams, Dick Vitale, Dale Brown, coach, Rex Ryan, coach, Tony Dungy, coach. I'm sure that each of these people have taught you something, Don, about greatness, and that's why you've included them in your book. But of all of those that I've just mentioned and all of those that you've interviewed, who really stands out in your mind and why?
Gosh, that's a hard question. It's like picking among your kids.
Right, I know it is.
I would probably say, and not – it's tough to beat John Wooden. It's tough to beat Michael Orr from The Blind Side. It's tough to beat some of those. But given the time period in which I was engaged with him, I would probably say my answer to that question would be Walter Payton.
Walter, interesting.
I lived with Walter for the last 10 weeks of his life while he was dying, and helped him write his autobiography. And you take someone as exceptional as Walter Payton, not just a great running back, but an amazing man, and then you weave in, the opportunity to be with him for those last 10 weeks when, as we all are wont to do when we're given a chance to tell our story, often, you're trying to put the greatest shine on it that you can. Walter didn't have any reason to. I mean, he knew that by the time the book came out, he was not going to be alive. So Walter did as great a job of kind of telling his story in as passionate and honest a way as I think you could ever imagine, and it was as great a story as you could hope. I mean, he was an unbelievable gift to me, and I was honored to be part of those weeks of his life.
Wow, I mean, that's a moving story, Don. And what lesson did you take away from Walter? Was it humility? What was it that he taught you by the last 10 weeks that you spent with him?
I think the thing, we're coming up on the 11th anniversary of Walter's death here in a few weeks, and so NFL Network actually flew a crew into Chicago to interview me the other day. I was there to do a couple of speeches, and as we were talking, the thing that really kind of stood out to me most about Walter and about that was how important charity was to him. And I don't mean charity like, going and standing out in front of a store with a Salvation Army bell, though that's always great stuff. Walter looked every day and said, "What did I do today for someone who couldn't return my favor?" Right? Most of us spend our time doing things for people that are going to give us something in return. That's why we do most of what we do, truthfully. And Walter said, "I want to make sure that every day I do something significant for someone who can't give me anything back." And I thought, what an amazing lesson in greatness that is. What an amazing lesson in personal development and understanding what it takes to be exceptional. It's not just I mean, when I think of Walter, I think of that more than I think of what he did on the field, and he did great things there too.
Wow, and that is incredible. In your book, Greatness, you do write about that the great ones exhibit different characteristics from the rest of us. I mean, it shows in the way that they think, in the way that they prepare, the way that they work, and like you said with Walter Payton, in the way that they live. So give us the secret sauce. What are the characteristics of greatness? And you've got 16 of them, so just pick and choose among them. What are the most important characteristics of greatness that you've learned from interviewing all of these phenomenal athletes?
Sure. I mean, I would tell you, well, first off, that phrase secret sauce always kind of catches my attention, because I know there are a lot of books and a lot of folks out there that want to pitch that, right? That I've got the secret sauce. Here's the answer. And I think what I learned most from these conversations and the answers there, those 16 characteristics that we talk about in this book and that I talk about when I speak, are their answers. So the answers from these great winners, whether it's Joe Montana or Joe Torre, whether it's Serena Williams or Annika Sorenstam, it doesn't matter who they are. I've tried to ask every great winner I've worked with over the last 20 years that question: what allowed you to go from good to great? What were the things that set you apart from your peers? And fascinating to me, almost none of them point to their athletic gifts.
Really?
None of them say it was something genetic. They all talk about characteristics that, when you list them out there and you look at them, maybe the most glaring thing that comes from those characteristics is that not a single one of them are things that we couldn't do ourselves if we were willing to have the same level of dedication and discipline to, as I say all the time, doing common things uncommonly well. That's really what makes that's the secret sauce, right? If there is one. It's that willingness to do things that all of us could do, but most of us don't. And the first characteristic that we list there, because it's the one that came up most regularly in these discussions, is that the truly great ones learned at some stage in their lifetime to hate losing more than they loved winning. They learned at some stage that you have to expect success, right? You have to believe that that's going to be part of your DNA, and you have to have done everything necessary to be successful. But then when you win, it really shouldn't be that great a surprise, right? Because you've done all the right things. Failure, on the other hand, should leave a mark. It should, so hating to lose more than you love to win is the one thing that comes up most regularly when these great champions are asked that question. How do you cross over that threshold? They found a moment where to do that, almost every one of them said that the most important thing they did was they committed themselves to a no-excuses life, right? They committed themselves that if failure came your way, that you weren't going to always have a reason for it, right? Well, the referees gave the game away, or the other guy, he had a pair of shoes that I wish I'd have had, right? I mean, they didn't look at life in those terms. They looked at failure as an opportunity for self-improvement. And that's really, I think that's the number one characteristic that came up when these great ones were asked that question.
Well, it's very clear. My guest is Don Yeager. We're talking about his book, Greatness, The 16 Characteristics of Two Champions. And Don, I would agree with you that it's important, because it actually comes up sort of twice in your book. They hate to lose more than they love to win. That's clearly it. And then they use losing as an inner fire or drive. They use adversity as fuel to move them forward. But it almost sounds like that's a negative, Don, doesn't it? I mean, they hate to lose more than they love to win. It sort of puts a negative spin on it. How can we use that in our day-to-day life, whether we're in business, whether we're parenting, whatever it might be? How do we spin that for ourselves?
Well, the first, it's that second half of it, what we were just talking about. Commit yourself to no excuses, right? If you say, hey, I hate to lose so much, right, that I'm going to use those moments to drive me. The first thing, the only way they can drive you is if you don't come up with excuses when they happen, right? And what do most of us do? What do most people do when failure comes their way? They've got a reason for it, right?
Sure, we excuse it away.
Well, the other guy, he had, he pulled out a last minute, and let's apply it to business, right? The other guy won the deal because he pulled out some last minute special, something, that I couldn't compete with, or he had a special relationship with the customer that I didn't have, really? I mean, if that's really going to be the way you're going to go about life, you're going to come up with a reason for every failure, and there are a lot of people out there who do, right? Then the truth is that you can be good, as we say in the book, but you can't really ever be great.
You don't tip over into that category of greatness. Now, one of the other characteristics that the great athletes have and have shared with you that we can use in our lives is that great athletes know when and how to adjust their game. So they take that adversity and then they make the small adjustments. Talk to me about what you learned from some of the great athletes about making those in-game or in-process adjustments, if you will, Don.
Sure. I mean, when John Wood used to say all the time, when you're through learning, you're through, right? The truly great ones understand that life is a continual process and that what got you here today doesn't get you there tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all that sounds very cliche-ish, but you look at great examples, and one that I love to use in that description is, you know, Michael Jordan, right? He came into the game, and when he was Air Jordan, right? He was the guy that was the most ferocious dunker in the game. Mm-hmm. No one could match his creative artistry when it came to being able to dunk the basketball. And yet, you know, as you watch Michael Jordan's progression as an athlete and as a basketball player, you know, what made him exceptional and what allowed him to stay in the game for so long was that he continued to grow and he developed parts of his game that weren't developed when he came out of college, namely his three-point shooting. I mean, he was a guy that really wasn't, you know, he wasn't a great shooter coming out of school. And yet that became, as he moved forward, that became as important in his long-term, his longevity and his long-term success as anything else out there.
No, he's probably best known not for a three-point shot, but for the shot that he took in the playoffs where he wanted the ball in his hands. That was the pinnacle of his, I guess, shooting ability, where it showed the world what a great shooter he had become.
Yeah, you know, and that was it. He didn't drive to the basket. He didn't dunk. He tried to make sure that he he knew what it was that the other team was willing to give him, and what they were willing to give him was something that in the past had not necessarily been a particular strength.
My guest is Don Yeager. We're talking about his book, Greatness, The 16 Characteristics of True Champions. And another thing that I took away from your book, Don, was that the great athletes always hope for the best, but they prepare for all contingencies, sort of like, you know, they hate to lose in that same vein. Talk to me about preparation and how important the preparation is even before the game or whatever it is you're engaged in begins.
Sure. Your listeners might well get tired of me sharing John Wooden quotes, but Coach Wooden, enormous effect of my life. 12 years I worked with him. I had the great honor of writing a book that came out on his 99th birthday. It came out 6 months before he passed away, and he was just an amazing man and a great mentor to me. But John Wooden used to always say, "Failure to prepare is preparing to fail." Right? If you're not willing to, you know, that a lot of people think, well, it's showing up, right? It's showing up is what it takes. Now, the really great ones have thought through all possibilities. They've thought through what it might take for them. What are the things that might come their way? How can they manage themselves before the game? And you know, so many great champions will tell you that they believe that victory really occurred for them before they ever stepped on the court because of their dedication to preparation. What did they study? What did they learn about themselves? What did they learn about their opponent? And how can we know more about them than they know about us? In this day and age, with the with technology being what it is, it's really difficult to be more well prepared than anybody else. But if you commit yourself to it and you're willing to go out there and do those things, it's amazing what a game changer it could be.
My guest is Don Yeager. And Don, the mutual affection. My listeners will never get tired of hearing John Wooden stories because of our proximity to UCLA and, of course, the lasting memory that John Wooden has in all of our minds. But the affection was two-way. It was a two-way street because I know seeing films of Coach Wooden, he thought very highly of you as well. My guest is Don Yeager, author of the book Greatness. Don, one of the things that I took away from the book that really made the true great athletes great was that they lived their life with integrity, and they embrace the idea of being a role model. And when you think of a guy like Michael Vick or some of the fallen athletes that are out there who didn't embrace being a role model, it makes these great athletes who do take that challenge on themselves even bigger. Talk to me about how important that is and what motivates the athlete to do that. Is it their ongoing legacy or is it something inside of them?
You know, I think really it's an inner compass. I think when you start looking at, and remember, I think the thing that I love most about this book is a publisher gave me an opportunity to share the lessons I've learned over the course of these years and how they apply to our lives. But probably the most significant part of this was getting to that first definition of what is great, right? Because there are some who might argue, hey, if you get the chance to win 14 majors and you're an amazing golfer and it doesn't matter what you've done off the course, you're still great. I would argue quite the opposite. I would say that your on-field or on-course behavior gives you an opportunity to be something exceptional off of it, and that's true, right? That's why so many companies, for example, paid Tiger Woods for his endorsement.
Right.
They wanted his name associated with theirs. Many of those companies obviously have fled him over time, over the last couple of years, since we all learned what we did about it. And so there's a great example of a guy who had it all, and it's not. And I wouldn't include him in my pantheon of greats. I mean, I've had a chance to work with him, and I've had a chance to get to know him. And I would, given what I know about him today, I just would not put him in that list because he didn't use the platform. And the truly great ones, I believe, understand what a gift they've been given and are honored to have other people look at them as a role model. They want that. They embrace it. And so I love when I start thinking about great winners, great athletes, how valuable that is.
Well, your book is...
I hope your listeners will forgive me. I'm driving to a speech I have in Orlando this afternoon, and there's a rainstorm that keeps kind of pelting the windshield occasionally, so I hope you'll forgive that.
Well, I apologize for that. I did not realize that you were driving. So if people want to learn more about you, Don, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Sure. Our website, www.donyager.com. Amazon has the book, as does every, as we love to say in our business, every fine bookseller carries the book. If they're not carrying the book, they're not a fine bookseller. Right.
There you go. Including our own Bank of Books here in Ventura, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street. Don, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care now.